Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All righty, welcome back in. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. The Denver Nuggets have forced the Game 7. You'll see that coming up on Sunday in OKC. Tip-off at 3:30 p.m. Eastern time. We'll see if the Nuggets can get one more victory to advance and go up against the Timberwolves, or it will be Oklahoma City going to the Western Conference Finals. Let's go out to the guest line right now. Welcome in Scott Hastings, who does a great job as a part of the TV network for the Denver Nuggets, also hosts radio out there on Altitude in Denver as well, played in the NBA with the Knicks, the Hawks, the Heat, the Pistons, where he won a championship and then wrapped up his career in Denver, and he's kind enough to join us right now. Scott, appreciate the time as always. Thanks for it. How are you?
I'm doing good, Zach. Thank you for having me.
Well, I appreciate you coming on. So you take a look at last night. Let me start with Jamal Murray. You know, if he's sick 3 years ago, he's probably not allowed to play in that game, but he was battling an illness last night, and it didn't hold him back. Just how about what Jamal Murray was able to do with the back up against the wall last night for Denver?
You know what? It's the second time in these playoffs. I think he had one earlier in the Clippers series. It was either Clippers series or Memphis, the Knicks, the last game. He came out, he's got long sleeve shirts on underneath his uniform, and we find out later, that's a new look, and he just absolutely killed it. I think it's the third time that in his career he's had a Michael Jordan kind of illness game, and he's actually played real well. I think, to be honest with you, why that is he's such a competitive dude, and he he really wants to win, that I think when he's under the weather, he lets it come to him. And I thought last night was a prime example of he really let the game come to him, hit a couple shots early, that first bucket where Dort pushes Hartenstein into him. He gets a four-point play early in the game. I think just really, you know, kind of set him up. You say, okay, the ball can go in even if I don't feel great. But he's had a history playing pretty well when he's been under the weather. But I think it's because he slows down and he lets the game come to him. He doesn't really force it, and he plays a more efficient game. And last night he was heck of efficient for a guy that you know, is your prime outside shooting guy.
You know, obviously we nationally talk about the Nuggets. We talk to Nikola Jokic, Jamal Murray. Then you get to the other guys like a Michael Porter Jr. and Aaron Gordon, even Russell Westbrook, as he's always a polarizing player. But Julian Strother was sensational last night. Christian Brown has really developed early into a good player and someone that's in their starting lineup. Just how about the performances from them two last night? Strother giving 15 off the bench, and then Christian Brown giving you 23 points as well.
You know, when Christian scores like that, they're pretty good. To be honest with you, when he gets 20, they don't lose very often. And it, all that does is just opens up the game a little bit, because now you got to concentrate on them. The games they've lost, if you go back and look at, you know, whether it's the bench or, you know, Michael Porter or even Christian, they really struggled making shots. And it allows a really, really good defensive team to really just clamp down in the middle. When you're not worried about anybody from the outside knocking shots down, it's easy to keep three bodies in the paint around Nikola Jokic. And, you know, he's still trying to, you know, get something going. And he's struggled in a couple of games as far as, his efficiency goes. So, yeah, when the others, I listened to Tim McMahon of ESPN last night in the post game from the floor, and I thought he said it best. He said, listen, Denver's a good team, but they're not deep. And now when you're starting to get others really contributing, whether it's Christian or in last night's case, Julian, coming off the bench, they become a real dangerous team, and I couldn't agree with him more. And now it's just, you know, can these guys do it in back-to-back games? I think a lot of, if you're being honest, you caught these guys in an honest moment where they, you know, they just didn't, you know, do the politically correct line. They feel they gave away games, you know, 4 at home and 5 on the road also with leads going into the fourth quarter. They think maybe had they had any production from, you know, Porter or Christian in either one of those two games, you know, they could have already ended this series themselves. So it leads up to a really interesting game 7 against a really good team who's going to be on their home floor.
Yeah, and also, like, obviously you need a Gordon or a Porter in a game 7 to just be serviceable. But I kind of feel game 7, a lot of people are going to pick the Thunder in this one. This is a Nikola Jokic game to me where, you know, maybe it is a game 5 type of performance, but they're able to get a victory this time around. That's like, as someone that doesn't have a dog in the fight here, Scott, from just a basketball standpoint, I want to see the Joker just have a sensational night and win the game, because what it does to his already ridiculous legacy, if he gets to a conference finals and maybe even better than that in a year where they fired the coach and the GM with 3 games left in the season, with the team, like you said, isn't deep, that would just be stupid, in my opinion.
It would add another chapter in the book, wouldn't it? You know, and listen, everybody's going to pick Oklahoma City, and well, they should, and that's, they deserved it. They had the best regular season in their history. They had the best regular season of the league this year. They're a great team. Shai Gilgeous is going to win the MVP. They're deep. They're 10 deep at least, and they've got tons of draft picks still to even add to the talent. But I believe it was Jalen Rose. And it might have been somebody else. I don't know. I'm gonna give Jalen credit because I like Jalen. But a few years ago, remember when Cleveland came back and won their championship and they beat Golden State in Golden State in Game 7?
Yeah.
And I think it was Jalen. It could have been Charles. It might have been somebody. He goes, when you play a Game 7, it's a dangerous situation when the best team in the world is on the other team. And at that time, the best player in the world was LeBron James, and you made it a one-game winner-take-all with the best player in the world, and Cleveland came back and won that game and won that series. So I think Joker's probably the best player in the world right now. He'll get second place in the MVP voting, but I'm glad he's on the team I'm going to cover. And that I'm going to be cheering for while I'm at the game there on Sunday. I think that bodes well, and I agree with you. I think if Denver finds a way to win this game 7, you've just added another chapter, really, to Nikola's awesome resume, Hall of Fame resume that he's already put out there.
And you see him night in and night out. You know, we're watching him from afar, and obviously everyone parachutes in and watches him religiously during the playoffs. No disrespect to David Adelman, but it feels like Nikola Jokic has been more vocal, and it feels like he's kind of a player coach right now. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, listen, and this is no slight on David, but I think you also have to have a coach that allows that. You know what I'm saying? You've got to have a coach. And the one thing that I think David did, rightly so, right away, now he's been an assistant with this team for the last 8 years, so he's grown up with all these guys anyway. There's a relationship with all these guys anyway. It's better to have a more friendly relationship when you're an assistant sometimes than it is even when you're a head coach. And he is, talking about David, is humble. He's egoless. He's the son of a Hall of Fame coach who he's leaned on his dad I think, through all this process, whose dad understood my job is to coach, but it's the players that matter. And I think he understands that. And if he can empower guys, and I agree with you, I think by far they're the shallowest team that are still playing in the playoffs, right? I mean, I don't think anybody, and I think that's one of the reasons you've lost your GM. And he understands if we're going to try to do anything that surprises the world, shocks the world, right? These guys got to be empowered. They've got to take ownership. They've got to want to win this thing more than even I do. I coached high school for a couple of years, and I remember talking to one of my assistants, and we won a game. We were a really good team, and we won a game by like 23, and I think we probably should have won by 40, right? Wasn't good enough, but maybe we won by 17, whatever. And I'm sitting out in the locker room after the game, and it's just my old-time coach that I had with me, John Suter. He played at Syracuse. He was a teammate of Dave Bing. I mean, he's an old-school guy. And I said, I just don't think these guys get it. This is the time of their life. This should be the most important thing. And I just, you know, I just don't – I think they take it easy. You know, all the different stuff coaches complain about when you got a good team and you still won easily. And he said to me, he said, Coach, you got to realize no one's going to love this more than you do. And it really struck a nerve in me. And I think that's probably right, especially in high school, maybe even at the college level. But at the pro level, if you can get a group of guys that the journey you're on at that moment is as much, if not more important to them than yourself, I think you got a good formula. And I think that's the recipe that David Adelman came in and is trying to cook up. Let's see. Because I could be the most brilliant coach in the world, and if these guys think this is over and they don't want to play, it ain't going to matter. They haven't played like that. And I think at this time it was the perfect chef to have in the kitchen.
Scott Hastings wrapping up with him. The Denver Nuggets are into a game 7, which you will see Sunday up against the Oklahoma City Thunder. Now, how do you think the Thunder are going to respond to this pressure? I know that the local fan in Denver may not feel this way, but I think all the pressure is on the Thunder going into this game 7 with the young team.
Well, listen, I think, Zach, that when they fired the coach and GM with 3 games left in the regular season, And it looks like you could drop all the way down to, you know, 6th seed, or who knows, you lose all 3, you're in the play-in. I think you've been playing with house money.
Yeah.
You win those 3 games, and as Adelman said, when you got to game 7 with the Clippers, those last 3 games of the regular season earned you the right to have this game right here at home tonight. And the way they played in this series, they've earned them the right to be in a game 7, but they're playing with house money. I don't think any, and I don't follow betting odds, or I don't follow all the sports betting apps or anything like this. I got to believe if you took the odds that this is going to be a 7-game series, you probably would have already cashed in.
Yeah.
Because I don't think anybody expected to see this. So I'm with you. You don't ever want to lose a game 7 at home. I think the pressure in a game 7 is always on the home team to hold court. Just like in the NFL, the NFC Championship, AFC Championship, whatever you do, you're in the AFC Championship game, the pressure's on the home team because you're supposed to win it. So we'll see. I'll say this. Listen, I mean, whether Denver wins or Denver loses, doesn't matter. Oklahoma City is a really good team. I mean,
no doubt.
They are a really good team. I think, and I've been trying to say, Denver's really good. They're just missing a piece of here, a consistent play here or there. But Denver's a really good team. They're just not very deep. And when you can get contributions, when you can get Joker and Murray playing like Joker and Murray, and then I think they're 5-0 in these playoffs when Gordon scores 20. They've got to be up in that same type of number when Christian Brown can, you know, throw up a 20 as well. So I don't know. Let's see. I think it's going to be a whale of a ball game, and I think it's going to be just like games 4, 5, and 6. Probably going to come down the last 3 minutes.
You lean Knicks or you lean Celtics tonight with New York at home with the chance to send home the defending champs?
After watching First Take, and listen, I was drafted by the Knicks.
Yeah.
But after watching First Take today and watching Stephen A. And all the stuff he was talking about, and then Spike Lee coming on, all the New York, New York, New York. I think for the first time in my life, because I also played for the Pistons and we beat the Celtics, for the first time in my life, I think I'm cheering for the Boston Celtics to force a game 7.
Wow. You were that turned off by Stephen A. Smith and Spike Lee?
It drove me crazy today. I ended up turing the program off. Drove me ass, and I know it and like both those guys, but that drove me crazy.
He is Scott Hastings. Scott, appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, Seth. Anytime.
You got it. There he is. Scott Hastings joining us. You got a game 7 coming up on Sunday with the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Denver Nuggets. We'll get to Custer Nevada on the other side. We'll get a Preakness prediction from him. We'll wrap up the show on the other side. Update time first. Here's Zach.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer.
SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.